Asklani was the kind of person who believed a life could be created, transformed, defined by a single moment. This was his. Hawaii 5-0, episode number 21, Aloha Means Goodbye. A pyromaniac extortionist threatens to set the entire island on fire unless he is given a priceless feather cape once worn by ancient Ali'i, now under lock and key at the Bishop Museum. Remember that episode? There's a scene where a Lincoln Continental explodes on a Chinatown street. The extortionist guy ducks down an alley. Steve McGarrett, immaculate in a dark suit and tie, gives chase. "Which way did he go, brother?" McGarrett asks the young taxi driver. "That way," says the young taxi driver, pointing towards Diamond Head. He is wearing a blue Aloha shirt and a straw hat. McGarrett, without another word, runs after the extortionist. That young taxi driver was none other than the hero of our story, Oz Kalani. And Hawaii 5-0 episode 21 was Oz Kalani's television debut. "This is it, boys," I remember an excited Oz Kalani saying that night the episode aired. We watched the show in the living room of his Kuhio Park Terrace one-bedroom apartment. "This is the one." "The what?" one of us asked, confused. "The one," said Oz Kalani, wearing a puka shell necklace and hang ten t-shirt. "The big one." "The big what?" someone said, still confused. That's when Oz Kalani leaned over and told us his philosophy on life. "Listen," he said, sighing and sounding slightly exasperated. "I'm going to only say this once. In every person's life, there comes a moment where his life can change forever. One chance. This Hawaii 5-0 thing, this is it. My ticket out of here. Oz Kalani is a new man." Days after Hawaii 5-0's episode 21 was aired, CBS Television and the Diamond Head studio where the show was taped were inundated with hundreds of telephone calls asking about the young taxi driver. Who was he? Would we see more of him? How, you may be asking yourself, would your humble narrator know the inner workings of a major television production? How would he know that producers and executives were barraged with dozens of questions about Oz Kalani? I know, dear friends, because I made the majority of these inquiries. At Oz's request. "Hey, Oz," someone said that day, me and several of Oz's closest friends worked the phones like a bunch of crazed telethon volunteers. "You can do me one favor, what? You can get me Jack Lord's autograph." "Shoot," said Oz Kalani. "And ask him how he keep his hair so nice. The thing never get messy, you notice that? And even when the thing get a little bit messy, like if the wind blow him around, the bugger still looks shocker, you notice that? Kind of like Elvis. Oh, what? And ask him if I can borrow that big black Cadillac of his to drive around. I get one date with Sassy Nancy next week. Oh, that car would impress the pants off her." "I'll see what I can do," said Oz Kalani. Believe it or not, Oz Kalani's plan worked. He had created the illusion of public demand. He was asked to do another Hawaii 5-0. Episode 32, Baratania Street is a one-way street ever bound. Oz Kalani is a down-on-his-luck boxer looking for quick cash. He joins an Asian heroin ring led by the international criminal Wolf Fat. You remember the menacing Wolf Fat? Bald head, thin mustache. Wolf Fat's first order to Oz is indeed an evil one. "Place poisonous blowfish meat on the governor's inaugural dinner plate." Oz's conscience, however, gets the best of him, and he dutifully climbs a step up to Iolani Palace and reports the vile scheme to McGarrett. In the end, McGarrett and, yes, Oz Kalani capture Wolf Fat at the old Oceana Floating Restaurant in Honolulu Harbor. "I'll get you, McGarrett," says Wolf Fat. Perfectly sinister. "Book 'em, Dano," says McGarrett, unruffled. "Oh, awesome," we said. Once again, watching the broadcast in the living room of Oz Kalani's Kuhio Park Terrace one-bedroom apartment. We cheered and clapped and popped open a bottle of cold duck. "This is big," said Oz Kalani, flushed and triumphant. "This is the big one. Don't forget us when you're famous, eh?" someone said. Maybe me. "No worry," said Oz Kalani, with a wink that was somehow both reassuring and confident at the same time. "I'm going to buy one big mansion, and we're going to sit by the pool, eat poke, and drink beer. Legend, someone said. Giant, another said. King, still a third said. Everyone wanted to be like Asukalani. Not just because he was on Hawaii Five-0. Ever since we were kids growing up in Kalihi, Asukalani was one handsome bugger. Tall, square chin, white teeth, body tan from years of surfing off canoes and kaisers, brown eyes, sweetish chocolate-covered macadamia nuts. But it wasn't simply because of his looks that everyone wanted to be like Asukalani. It was because of his drive, his desire. Unlike most of us, he knew exactly what he wanted to do with himself. He knew exactly where he wanted to go. Let me make the record clear, ladies and gentlemen. Asukalani was no overnight success. Whatever triumphs life handed him, he earned through years of hard work, focus, and dedication. We all saw it, even in the very early days at Kapalama Elementary School. While the rest of us in the fourth grade played kickball and rode skateboard at Uluwatu's, Asukalani scripted a ghost story. One day during class, he acted it out for us. I don't remember much about the performance, except it was supposed to occur in a graveyard, and once or twice, he turned off the lights and screamed. The lunch bell rang during Oz's play, I remember, but nobody moved from their seats. The ultimate compliment. As the years went by, Oz nurtured his love for the stage. He played Brutus in a Farrington High School production of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. Caesar was being played by a dork valedictorian, and in the scene where Brutus stabbed Caesar to death, everyone in the audience cheered and chanted Ozzy's name. Ozzy! 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 At the University of Hawaii, Asukalani was Tony in West Side Story. He was the man of La Mancha, the king in The King and I, Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar. But it was television that excited Asukalani most, and one show in particular. I gotta get on Hawaii Five-0, he told me one day. That was one thing we had in common. We were both big fans of Hawaii Five-0. I still am. I've watched every episode, remembered all the plots, and tracked the numerous guest appearances by local celebrities. I'm a walking Hawaii Five-0 encyclopedia. Anyway, Asukalani submitted dozens of photographs and cover letters to Hawaii Five-0 executives. And one glorious day, he was called in to do a reading. The rest, as they say, is history. Now, after his first two Hawaii Five-0 appearances, Asukalani's future looked as bright as the white shoes and polyester pants Steve McGarrett sometimes wore. Rumors about Oz were everywhere. The producers at Hawaii Five-0 appreciated Asukalani's talent so much, they planned to offer him a role on the series as a regular, right up there with Dano, Kono, and Chin-ho. The deal is this, Oz confided. Me and McGarrett, we're going to be partners, like Batman and Robin. Another rumor circulating around Kalihi revealed that some big-time Hollywood producer vacationing on Maui saw Asukalani on Hawaii Five-0 and wanted him to be the lead in a new film biography about King Kamehameha the Great. Asukalani hired himself a mainland agent. The agent got him a role as an extra when the Brady Bunch came to town. The agent also got him a cameo on Charlie's Angels, the two-parter where the girls visited the islands. Now, if life was fair, Asukalani would have become famous, a household name, a star of stage and screen, a legend. You'd have seen him thanking God, his agent, and his family at the Academy Awards, holding up the golden Oscar statue after winning Best Actor. You'd have seen his picture on the cover of Time, Newsweek, Life, People, Esquire, and Rolling Stone. You'd have seen film clips of him on the news, walking hand in hand with beautiful starlets in exotic locations, in a tuxedo at Cannes, climbing out of a limo in Hong Kong, dining out at a trendy Manhattan bistro. You'd have seen him as the Grand Marshal of parades. You'd have seen him sing the Star Spangled Banner before the Super Bowl. You'd have seen his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Your life was fair. Alas, Asukalani was never asked to be a regular on Hawaii Five-0. He would not play Kamehameha on the big screen. And after a while, the phone stopped ringing. The offers stopped coming. The letters and photographs he sent out in the mail returned unopened. The well appeared to be running dry. What happened to your agent? Someone asked. He's trying, said Oz. He's saying worry. Now, no one loved Asukalani more than yours truly, but I must confess to you that during this dark and frightening period in his life, Asukalani became a royal pain in the, you know where. Take going to the movies, for example. You call that acting? I remember him whispering during a feature at the Cinerama one night. I can do better than that clown. He memorized lines during the movie, leaned over to me and recited them. How's that? Good, huh? Better than that bastard, huh? The bugger getting all kind of awards. He won millionaire. Why, he needs all over the place. Jeez. When we saw The Godfather, Ascalani said he could give shooting lessons to the Corleone family. But they're all gangsters, I said. They already know how to shoot. You just don't understand the acting business, said Oz, rolling his eyes. During Jaws, Oz wanted to help Quint, Brody, and Hooper kill the great white shark. I come from a long line of fishermen, he said. If I was on that sorry ass boat, I'd shove my three-pronged spear right in that shark's eye. Dead meat, brah. Oz wanted to be the first Hawaiian in space after watching Star Wars and E.T. Who's this Darth Vader clown? Said Oz Kalani. You think he scared me? He's nothing. One panty. Half the boys at KPT could knock him out. And when we saw Rocky, Oz Kalani wanted to beef the Italian stallion. I can be the scrapping Hawaiian, he said. I give that brother 30 lickings. Yes, sadly, Oz Kalani was becoming angry and disgruntled. But he had a point. There's no good scripts for us local guys, he'd always say. No good parts. You know that. I know that. My useless agent know that. And you know why that is? Because the big-wig mainland executives, they don't care about Hawaii. They come here, go Waikiki Beach and Pearl Harbor, but they don't really care about the Hawaiian peoples. Sadly, Oz Kalani and I started drifting apart. I'm not sure why. It didn't happen in a day. It was a gradual thing. We just saw less and less of each other. Before I knew it, a year had passed, then two, then three. One day I called his home. A recorded voice said she was sorry, but I had reached a number that was vacant and no longer in service. I asked around. No one seemed to know what happened to Oz Kalani. It was as if he had disappeared from the face of the earth. As for me, fate led me down the improbable path of animal medicine. I became, of all things, a veterinarian. One day I treated a Doberman afflicted with bad breath. On top of my usual fee, the Doberman's grateful owner gave me a lifetime membership to the Ikaika Fitness Center. I was not what you call a health freak. I readily admit I could have gotten a little more exercise, maybe trimmed a pound or two off the midsection. And while a number of friends and acquaintances had turned to tofu, stir fry, and salads, I clung to old favorites like New York steaks, chili burgers, and Kalbi ribs. And while others warned me about the health risks, I heartily enjoyed cups of strong coffee, a Chivas Regal after a particularly hard day, and an occasional Cuban cigar. Still, I decided to check out the Ikaika Fitness Center, and yes, I was impressed. Heated pools, saunas, jacuzzis, racquetball courts, basketball courts, rows and rows of exercise bicycles and stairmasters, dozens of fitness machines and free weights. My first day there, I saw a beautiful girl in skin-tight leotard standing in front of a mirror, curling tiny dumbbells, one in each hand. Very good, sweetie, said a huge guy next to her, obviously an instructor. Then it hit me. The pecs were bigger, the quads more expansive, the biceps and triceps more defined, but of course, the instructor was none other than my dear long-lost friend, Oz Kalani. But I had to be sure. Excuse me, I said, tapping the instructor on a massive and very hard shoulder. Just a second, he said, not turning around. You want to work out? Call me. He handed me a business card. Oz Kalani, personal trainer. Oz, I said, it's me. He turned around, and when he finally realized who I was, his eyes opened real wide and he hugged me. After the girls' workout was finished, Oz invited me to the lounge on the first floor of the gym, the Ikaika Bar. I was looking forward to a beer. Oz ordered two zucchini and broccoli shakes. The guy gave it to him for free. That was no surprise, and autographed photograph of none other than Oz Kalani, pumped and smiling, hung on the wall behind the cash register. Damn, it's good to see you, said Oz as we sat on a terrace overlooking a jacuzzi. He sized up my body in that unique way guys who lift a lot of weights like to size up other people's bodies. So, What you doing with your life now? Me? I said, touched by his interest, to be honest with you. I'm a veterinarian. Oh yeah, said Oz, very impressed. Awesome, bro. Whew. I admire you guys. So what? You don't eat meat? How about chicken? No, I corrected. I'm a veterinarian, not vegetarian. Veterinarian. Oh, said Oz, nodding. But what about seafood? Fish and stuff? No, I persisted. You see, said Oz, apparently tired of the subject. I'm glad you're working out. Shape that body of yours. Sculpt it in a way when artists carve art out of one slab of marble. This is my first day, I said. It's so easy, said Oz kindly. Keeping fit. This is the only body you'll ever have. You better take care of it. Oz Kalani explained how he was a personal trainer, working out one-on-one with politicians, celebrities, and businessmen. I ventured. What happened to your acting career? Oh, that, said Oz, waving at two girls daintily dipping their toes in the jacuzzi. You heard those stories about some actor who worked as one waiter or one gas station attendant, then one day he's what you call discovered? That's what I'm doing. Only thing, I want personal trainer. I'm just passing time waiting for the call to come, the big one, then boom, my life going change. That's what my agent in Los Angeles says. He tell me, be patient, things are gonna happen, and I believe him. During the next several weeks, I visited the Ikaika Fitness Center every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday after work. Oz Kalani was always there. As I curled, pressed, squatted, and benched, I watched Oz assist nubile lasses as they stretched their hamstrings and looked lovingly in his eyes. I watched him cheer on sweaty, out-of-shape executives struggling on exercise bicycles. And I watched Oz diligently take pencil to clipboard as he charted the weight training progress of young college students hoping to impress girls in Hamilton Library with the size of their shoulders and chests. Oz had a fast, breathless, machine gun-like way of dishing out encouragement. Come on, you can do it! Push, push, push! And all the while, he wore a tight polo shirt with the handsome Ikaika Fitness Center emblem available for $29.95 at the front desk. Shorts, Nikes, and shades hanging down from a string around his neck. Sometimes, on bad hair days, he explained, he wore a baseball cap sporting the insignia of a winning athletic team or the logo of a successful designer footwear manufacturer. On one day, though, Oz wore something new, something I hadn't seen in ages. He wore the look of hope, a blissful sleepwalker enjoying the greatest dream of his life. And that afternoon, over watercress smoothies and no fat, no cholesterol energy bars, I heard Oz Kalani's familiar frame. "This the big one," he said. "The what?" I said, not sure I heard correctly. "The big one," he repeated. "Remember how I used to say, one moment can change the course of your entire life?" "Yeah," I said, the understatement of my life. "A producer guy just offered me my own exercise show. Can you believe that? We start shooting tomorrow. I want you to be in my first show. You're going to stand right next to me, stretching, doing jumping jacks, lunges, the works." "Who's this producer guy?" "One of the students in my Tuesday, Thursday aerobics class. They call him the kid." "He said we're going to start locally, but who knows where this going to lead. Maybe I can go national, have my own exercise videos, then some big-time bugger going to discover me. My dream's going to come true." "The kid," I said. "Yeah," he said with a wink that reminded me of the old, confident Oz Kalani I used to know. "You know these Hollywood guys. They give each other all kind of funny nicknames." I have to admit, I was pretty excited that night. I couldn't eat well. I hardly slept. After all, unlike the extremely photogenic Oz Kalani, I had never been on TV before. How much mousse should I put in my hair? Would I sweat too much? Words can't describe the surprise awaiting for me the next day when Oz Kalani took me to the set of his exercise show. Maybe I was naive. I was expecting us to tape at a beach or the grounds of a lush resort. Instead, Oz Kalani drove me to the employees' parking lot at the Ala Moana Shopping Center. "This seemed like a weird place to tape one exercise show," I said. "You're always so skeptical," said Oz Kalani, slightly annoyed. "Look at all the exercise shows on TV. They're either working out in some fancy studio, or it's a nice beach, a golf course. The kid, He's sharp. He like us to be different. Whatever, as I said, shrugging. And yes, words can't adequately describe the surprise when Oz Kalani introduced me to the big-time producer named The Kid. Instead of some 40-something-year-old executive type with dark glasses and a pipe, I wound up shaking hands with, well, a kid. A 16-year-old stock clerk on his lunch break from an Alamo on a store. Are you the kid? I said. Yes, said the kid. We're going to shoot Oz Kalani's exercise show in one parking lot. Yep, said the kid. And we got to hurry up. I only get 20 minutes before I got to go back to work. Oz took off his warm-up jacket, revealing skin-tight bike shorts as black and glossy as Steve McGarrett's hair. The kid positioned Oz and me just slightly left of a Toyota Tercel and an Acura. If you like, said Oz Kalani, I can sing too. Oh, I get one good voice. I could have done duets with Frank Sinatra. I could have been the fifth Beatle. Or you rather hear my Elvis. The kid whipped out one of those home video cameras you use at surprise birthday parties and baby luau's, and Oz took us through his workout regime. A group of onlookers slowly gathered, making me quite self-conscious, as you can imagine. We got through some stretching and light aerobics when disaster struck. Several burly security guards informed us that we were on private property and just as quickly kicked us off the aforementioned private property. Tears streamed down my face. Hey, said Oz Kalani, putting a consoling arm around me. No cry for me, pal. I'm going to be all right. I didn't have the heart to tell Oz that somehow my cursed moose had mixed with my sweat and run into my burning eyes. I always thought it was my destiny to be somebody, said Oz, watching a Nissan Pathfinder squeeze into a parking stall clearly labeled compact. I always thought I was going to do big things, put Hawaii on the map. Now, for the first time in my life, I'm not so sure. Maybe I've been wrong all this time. Oz Kalani was not at the Akaiko Fitness Center the next day, nor did he make an appearance the next day or the next. It was as if, once again, Oz Kalani had disappeared from the face of the earth. For a while, rumors about Oz Kalani circulated among the members of the Akaiko Fitness Center. He had received an offer to serve as chief trainer at the exclusive and rival Hawaii Club. Others said he was in Japan, personal therapist to sumo wrestlers. Still others said he was in Hollywood, signing a contract to star in an action thriller to be shot on location in Kaka'ako. Recently, I was at the Akaiko Fitness Center, and there, before my very eyes, Oz Kalani made his triumphant return. Sort of. Actually, they were running an old rerun of Hawaii Five-O on the TV. And there was a much younger Oz Kalani, with so much hope and promise written on his eager face, pointing out the way a mad bomber had run to Steve McGarrett. I wanted so bad to hear Oz Kalani's voice one more time, but the clanking of the weights in the Akaiko Fitness Center drowned him out. Kind of like the way you lose track of sound when you stick your head underwater.